Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. I'm going to continue to talk today about St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, that letter, tremendously inspiring and challenging, polemical letter. Paul was making the case in this letter, defending the heart of the gospel. What is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? The situation in the letter is the Galatian community, the converts there, were being told by various Jewish believers that they needed to be circumcised. And Paul was trying to say, look, if you're saying that circumcision is required, what you're doing is you're bringing these new believers who've come to Christ in the new covenant through repentance, baptism, faith in Jesus, and a new life in the Holy Spirit, you're telling them that that's not enough, that they need to come back under the Mosaic requirements of the Mosaic law, both the commandments, but also the ceremonial commandments and the like. And Paul makes the case, he's thundering forth, as one commentator says in this letter, defending the gospel. He said, because if you think that that's a requirement for salvation, you're bringing these people to the place where they have to fulfill every single detail of that law, and it puts them under a curse because they can't fulfill it. Only Christ could fulfill that. And so that's precisely what Jesus did for us. So that's kind of the heart of the struggle that's going on in this letter, and Paul's being very clear about elements of the gospel. And so I wanted to just begin yesterday, but wanted to continue today to take up things that Paul puts his finger on that apply directly to us, because it's such a delight to take up God's word and to hear the teaching of the apostles. One, because they were Paul, Peter, and the rest of John, their minds were so alive and so clear, and their spirits were so alive to the truth that Jesus revealed. They understood it. Obviously, they walked with Jesus. He formed them. He taught them. But the work of the Spirit in them was so profound, and they were living with renewed minds. I mean, where they are is where the Lord wants to take all of us. That clarity has already begun in us, but living in the world, having a weakened nature because of concupiscence, being in a battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, we often get seduced into thinking with kind of dull minds spiritually, frankly, and not alive and animated with the clarity and the power of the Holy Spirit the way the apostles are. And their words are challenging, but their words are also extremely encouraging, and encouraging because they help us understand who we are, who God is, what we're called to be, what God wants to do in us and through us, and really who we are right now. The source of our life and our dignity and our identity gets revealed. I ended yesterday's program with verse 3 of chapter 1. It's Paul's greeting. He says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And now he stops and he says, in commenting about Jesus, he said, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. There's just a lot there in the one sentence, which is very typical of Paul and the writers of the New Testament. So he's praying that we would receive the grace of God, God's gift of the Holy Spirit, God's gift of new life, God's gift of freedom for us to live as sons and daughters of God, and that we'd walk in peace, we'd be in right relationship with God, right relationship with one another, and from God the Father. And he always begins, or he reminds us, God's our Father, we're children of God. This is the foundation of everything for us. And I noticed a statistic, I was reading yesterday an article, the epidemic, you might say, the CDC is calling it an epidemic, the epidemic of suicide in the country. And there was a study done, the latest one that I saw was 2016, 45,000 Americans killed themselves. And they said, those are the ones that we know of that they died that way. There's probably more. And they called it an epidemic. And here we are in history's most wealthiest, most powerful country, with arguably the most material resources of any country in the history of the world. But it's not enough, is it? It's not enough. It's not a perfect country. It's a place that has problems, but people are taking their lives. And what's at the foundation of that often is can be psychological illness, very extreme depression, and the rest of it. But it also includes a spiritual battle. Because the enemy Our mortal enemy wants to lead us to despair. He wants us to never know hope. He wants to steal what hope and faith and trust we might have, belief in God, belief in a future that is good. And it leads people to ultimate despair, and they take their lives. The church has always said that suicide is a mortal sin, right? Because why? Because it says it's a big no to God. Again, I'm not talking about on the program today, I'm not saying imputing culpability to people. Only God knows the condition of the human heart of every person who takes their own life. I don't know it, and you don't know it, right? But the church teaches that one dimension of it, one very important thing to keep in mind, is that there's a spiritual battle that we live in, and that we can be drawn into deep, profound spiritual despair, not just psychological difficulty and struggle, but spiritual despair. And right, psychological difficulty can mitigate responsibility and all that, but that's not the main reason I want to talk about it. I'm just saying we're being attacked, and this is a world in which the world of flesh and the devil are at work. And in this world, Paul's understanding here, he talks about Jesus. He says, what? He calls him our Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of those names are part of the, you could say, the title of Jesus, the name of Jesus, Lord. What does it mean that Jesus is Lord? Is that he literally, all power and authority in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus. He's destroyed every principality and power. He's won the victory on the cross. He's made a public show in disarming the devil. And he wants to transfer us by the will of the Father from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Jesus is Lord, and he will come again in glory as Lord to judge the living and the dead. And the kingdom that he's Lord over, the kingdom of God, will never end. And Jesus is calling each one of us to become his followers, his disciples. He wants to make us children of God, but he wants to be the Lord of our entire lives. He wants to be the Lord of all. And if he's not the Lord of all, as some preachers like to say, he's not Lord at all. He wants to bring us to bring our entire existence under his rule and his reign. In Jesus, Jesus means what? Savior, God with us. Jesus has come to save us. He's come to save us because we need to be saved. Every single human being needs full salvation, and it comes from one source. It comes from a person, Jesus Christ. And what is Christ? Christ means anointed one. Jesus, the Savior, God with us, he is the Lord and he is the Christ. That's what Peter said in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, the first homily of the first pope, right? The first preaching of the kerygma of the gospel. This Jesus, he said, is Lord and Christ. It was the summary of what he preached on that important day of Pentecost, the day the church was born. So he was telling all the Jews who were present there at the celebration of their Feast of Pentecost, which is a celebration of the giving of the law of Moses and a harvest feast. And that day, souls, human beings, were harvested for the kingdom of God through the preaching of the apostles, which Jesus told them would happen if they go forward with the power of the Holy Spirit inspiring their preaching and their proclamation. But the point is, Paul knows who Jesus is. And then he goes on to say, Jesus is the one who gave himself for our sins. Jesus came, as St. John tells us in 1 John, he came to take away sin. He came to destroy sin's power. Jesus talks a lot about sin. He calls the world to repentance. I've been doing a Bible study with Ralph Martin and a couple of young guys who are part of our young adult outreach, ID916, its director, Peter Burak and Joey McCoy. A number of months ago, Ralph, we were talking about how often Jesus talks about the consequences of sin and the peculiar situation we see in the church today, which is where hardly anybody talks about the consequences of sin. We don't talk about sin very much. We have a kind of allergic reaction to talking about it. And I think lots of priests and bishops and lay leaders and teachers, we've convinced ourselves that somehow it's not that good to talk about sin very much because people can't handle it, or people don't want to hear it, or maybe they can't handle it psychologically or something. Whatever the reason is, we don't talk about it very much. But so we started working our way through the Gospels. We said, let's start with Matthew, go all the way to Revelation. We broke up all those letters and Gospels among the four of us and said, okay, let's each one of us will go through our sections and find out where Jesus or the apostles talk about the consequences of sin. And we are shocked to find out that Jesus talks about it a whole lot more than we realized. And even Ralph, who's been, you know, following the Lord for 50 years, and he's a brother who does talk about sin with some regularity, and he's as shocked as any of us are. So here we are like 3 months into our study, and we still haven't made it through Matthew's gospel all the way. I mean, probably, I don't know, 60% of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says very challenging things about sin and the consequences of sin and the Father's attitude towards sin. And what you see in the gospel and what you hear now from the words of the apostles in their letters is Jesus came precisely to deal with sin and to take away sin and to destroy sin's consequence, which is death, and not just natural death, but eternal separation, the second death, the eternal separation from God forever because of sin and sin's hold on us. And so, again, his preaching is very clear. So Paul, really just echoing the teaching of Jesus, he says he reminds us that Jesus gave himself. Jesus came to die, friends. He didn't come to give us a pep talk. He didn't come to be our great cheerleader. He didn't come just to give us a better articulation of the law, you might say. Jesus came to die. God himself in his Son came to die on a cross. It wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a secondary thing. It wasn't just an unfortunate thing. He came knowing what needed to happen, that sin needed to be put away, that sin's power over the human race had to be destroyed, that a right sacrifice, a worthy sacrifice for sin had to be offered because the blood of goat, lambs and goats was not enough to cover the sin of the human race. And Jesus came to make himself an offering for sin, Paul said, so that sin could be taken away. And throughout the Gospels, and this is the thing we were just studying it this morning, the four of us, over and over again, you get the sense Jesus is saying, wake up, wake up, turn away from sin, all sin, little sin, big sin, turn away from all of it. Come to Jesus. Let him save you. Let him free you. And this is a theme that Paul will take up in this letter himself about the freedom that's given to us in the Holy Spirit. So Paul is saying he gave himself for our sins to deliver us. We need deliverance. You need deliverance. I need deliverance. The whole world, there's nobody that's so nice that they don't need deliverance. It's a huge mistake to think that. And often the kind of the preaching of the church can presume that, and that's crazy. It's not the teaching of Jesus and the apostles. And delivered from what? In this case, Paul says, from this present evil age. Right? This fallen state, this age that resists the God and the will of God. We'll take this up again tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.